Father, just thank you for your goodness and for your mercy for providing for a place to come together. And just, Lord, we know this building isn't anything, and you are our all in all. And each of us has a part of you, but only sees you in bits and pieces. So, Lord, as we come together, help us have the full light of the glorious gospel that's hidden in Jesus Christ. Lord, our desire is to see you and know you more. And then as that becomes a reality in our lives, that you would be seen by the world and glorified, and then you might just disappear. And we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Okay, so here we go. There's a reason why I came here, and it wasn't like, let's have fun going and talk about fasting. Because if you guys know and look at me, you probably realize I don't not eat very often. So, I'm fasting from the mic. I'm trying. I hate microphones.
Just point it at.
No, I'm just trying to think what I want to say. Anyway, let's just read it, and then we're going to look at verses 6 through 14 and just talk about some of these things. But I first want to just mention, last week we talked about how the first thing is someone going before the Lord is someone, before you go out for the Lord, you're going before his face. That was what was said about John the Baptist, that he will go before your face to prepare the way. One of the things I did not share last week, does anybody know what the word seek means?
To look for, pursue, search.
To look for, pursue,
search.
Search. Anything else? And it's ultimate. Those are all true, but it's with the purpose and intent to find. The purpose and intent to find. I'm looking for something, expecting to find it. Jesus is seeking to save the lost. Right? He's expecting to find it. So, when it tells us to seek his face, it's like, I'm looking because the only reason why I can expect for him to show himself to me is because he's already told me he would. So my expectation is in the Lord to fulfill his word in my life so that I can know him. Is that fair? No? Yeah? I just thought I'd add that on the last week for whatever that's worth. There are some verses in here that I wish I would have never said last week. I wanted to share from here today. But you know, Paul wrote that I have things to write to you, but you're not ready to hear them. I don't feel that way with this group. I feel that we can be open and honest and that you're ready to hear and the Spirit's willing. And that... Now I'll keep moving away because I hear myself. It's just me. Believe it or not, I don't want to hear myself speak.
That's you're deaf anyhow.
No, I just don't listen.
How about if I turn off the fan?
Oh. Hey, it's all about denying yourself today, right? Yeah. Let's read these because I think, I'm going to say one thing. Scriptures to me are like onions. It's not that they make you cry, but sometimes they do. But when it's cut, you know, that has an outer layer, that has the inner layer. Scriptures have layers. Onions have layers. And so the Lord wants to take the simple things and multiply them in your lives to a deeper relationship and drawing from him. So it can mean more, is all I'm saying. So when we talk about a fast, are we talking about not eating? Typically, that's what's thought of as fasting. And guess what? I ate a donut this morning, so I'm not trying to guilt anybody. This isn't about that. If we can really see what the Lord's saying to us, I believe it will free us to walk with him. So let's just read it. So, is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the... to let the oppressed go free and to break, that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh? Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." If you take the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, the speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Any questions? Any answers? Anybody have a hope? Jesus. I think we all would love to see our light just break forth, like verse 8, like the morning, your healing spring forth speedily. And verse 14, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord and cause to ride on the high hills. I think that's what we all want, isn't it? To be at a place in our walk that that we're seeing light. We know that he is the light of the world, right? And he's given us all a little bit of light. He hasn't given anyone perfect light. That's why it says that we see in a glass dimly. So I might have a different take on this than you may have heard before. It's fine. You can take it or leave it. But when we start here and just look at this, okay, so there's a verse in Luke, and I forgot to write it down. Jesus asked the question, if the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Well, if the light in you is good, your whole body would be good, but if the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Anybody have an answer for that? Because this is what got me on this little trail. So when I see that, what scares me is what that verse says to me is, even in the little light that I see, there's still darkness all around me, inside of me. And if I can come to a place that I understand that Jesus is my only salvation, then I'm really entering into a fast. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? This is God's choice. This is God's heart. This is God's desire. Since he chose it. Did he choose it so that it would be nice and easy for all of us to put a notch on our belt to say we can do it? No. You can answer that one. There's three things in verse 7 that's in the Lord's desire and in his heart. We see to loose, to undo, to let go free. To loose the bonds of wickedness. I personally am looking at these first two verses as self-introspection. And then from there it's motivation from what the Lord's working. This is what the Lord chooses for us to walk in. This is the choice that He's made in. All these truths that I'm saying, or the Scriptures, is what Jesus walked in. Has not Jesus loosed the bonds of the wickedness of your life for your salvation and freed you up and undone the heavy burdens of sin from your life and set you free? Because Scripture says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So we see these take place in the life of Jesus and how He walked it out with the heart of the Father. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? This is physical need. Verse 6 is, I think, a reminder of God's heart for what we should be doing. It should be happening in our own lives and looking outward and seeing that that's our desire. Last week we talked about in 2 Chronicles, it said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, seek my face, turn their ways from wickedness, then I will hear and relate. Wickedness is something that I think is a wide range to deal with. Some would say, well, it's just sin and things you do wrong. I'm not quite sure I'm there. Because without Christ, we're seen in our sin, in our flesh. But the Lord's desire, who in here doesn't want the wickedness gone from your life? Who doesn't want the heavy burdens removed from their life? Who doesn't want to be free to walk with Jesus daily? And that there's no other yoke attached? So we're all on the same page? Good. That's why I said I could share this today. We're going to talk about some of these things, but maybe. But is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? This is actual seeing outside yourself and seeing need. There are hungry out there. There are those who have been cast out. And when you see the naked that you cover, what's the greatest way we can cover the nakedness of anyone? Well, if it's physical nakedness, you can give them a blanket. If it's walking with the Lord, and what's He tell you to do? Love covers a multitude of sin. Don't hide yourself from your own flesh. We're going to camp here a while. What do you think that means? Do not hide yourself from your own flesh. Please answer.
Do not hide yourself from what?
Your own flesh.
You have to articulate nice and clearly for the peanut gallery back here.
I try. When you see this, this is something to you when you read it. This isn't something you've looked out and you've seen the nakedness of everyone else, and you should cover them. But now He's telling you, don't try to hide from yours. What does He mean?
I think it means to know your flesh, to know who you are, to be aware of, that you have those sins, you have those thorns, balls in your own eyes, and your flesh is not good. So
the flesh is not good.
Okay.
Anyone else?
We walk in the light as He is in the light, then we see who truly are.
Okay.
And then we can say, sorry.
Okay.
Get it.
Romans 12:16 was my verse for the day. It was, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight.
Romans 12:16. Yes.
Yeah, I think going along with what Laura just shared, I think it's kind of referring to caring about your fellow human beings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think it's specifically, you know, like... because if you look at the context, the way he's sharing this here, it's like, this is what the Lord wants to do through your life.
Okay.
Toward others.
Right. Right.
And that's,
so he has to show you the need.
So in order to do that, you have to deny yourself.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Because if you read from 58 down to verse 5, it's like it's all about the physical.
Right.
And the Lord's like...
Yeah, skip the physical.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, not, it's not about you, in other words. It's about Jesus and his desire to redeem mankind.
Okay. Anybody else? The way you hear and see these things are the wall things that the Lord's going to use and walk you through.
Isolation of Christianity.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So do you mean? Okay.
You can't be an isolation.
Yeah. Don't be an island.
Yeah.
You have to be a Lambo, not a Rambo.
Whatever.
Because by the time you get to verse 8, when it says, "Then your light and our light is Jesus." Psalm 27:1 says, "The Lord is my light."
Yep.
So Psalm 27:1 says, "The Lord is our light." So what the way I look at verse 8 is, then the Lord can get into what's happening. He's into that. Like he'll be in that.
Okay.
That's the way I see it. Like, you know, like.
Ooh, anyone else? Yes, sir.
Another version says, "Do not turn your back on your own flesh and blood."
Yeah.
So it's family, you know, those people. Like, it's kind of like close progress, or is it Ocelot is known really well outside of his own family.
Right. It's kind of also like the heavy burdens is the same thing as yoking people.
Yeah, we're going to get you.
With legalism and, like, you know, having the outside looking clean, like the Pharisees, like, you know, that's there for us too. You know, like, the outside of the cup looks clean, but inside is filthy. You know?
Right.
So,
yeah.
I mean, that's another aspect. That's already.
Right. That's what I'm saying. We're in layers and.
Yeah.
There's different areas, not meaning one's deeper than another. It's
what
just,
I'm saying is, like, break every yoke. Every ounce of self-effort must be broken.
Yes. And to do that...
when you see your brothers, you share Christ in that way.
Right. But to do that is you need to not hide yourself from your flesh. Let me explain in different words. Let's turn to 1 Timothy. First Timothy chapter 1. Paul's our example, correct? That's what he says, "Follow me as I follow Christ." A lot of people say, you know, Paul has the life we want to follow, or that's the life that God wants to work in us, that he's our model. Well, let's look at our model. What he says to Timothy as he's teaching. Verse 15. Now, this wasn't Paul when he was first saved. This is Paul instructing a younger believer. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. How did Paul see himself?
As the least of all saints.
Correct. Kent said, "The least of all saints." And why?
Because he saw the Lord.
Right.
Like Isaiah.
Yes. High and lifted up. Woe is me. But however, verse 16, "For this reason, I obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show all long suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Paul, I believe, understood, O wretched man, who will deliver me? This isn't a new believer. This is someone who's written 5-6 letters by now, wanting to instruct a younger believer. You need to understand there's nothing in you that made you worthy. The reality is you were so bad that God's using you as an example to show the people around you that really are probably better, that God's grace is so long-suffering and kind. If he can meet me, he's got to be able to meet everyone else. That's Paul's heart. That's the truth of your flesh. You cannot hide yourself from it. You cannot add to your salvation working it out on your own, trusting in yourself. You cannot do it. Fast from you. That's God's chosen direction for you. That's the fast. To deny yourself, to pick up your cross. That means make no provision for your flesh. That means you can't add to it. There's nothing you can do for your salvation other than say thank you. You cannot rely on making it any better because you're sealed. You're his. Now, can I mess up my inheritance and enjoying it while I walk and do stupid stuff? I'm a product of that, and that's what Paul's saying. I'm a pattern for those of God's long-suffering that'll be saved. See, what the scriptures are teaching really is you guys are so great to look at that when people can come to a place to say, God has got to be gracious if he can save you. It's hard to hear, but it's true. Your flesh is rotten. My flesh is disgusting. The truth is we don't believe it. We think we can add. We think we can do. I throw everything out first. Don't worry about it. You know, we're told in Galatians to take heed. Take heed lest you fall. He thinks you stand, take heed lest he fall. Why? Because when we think we got it, when we think the light that we're seeing through, like I was talking about in Luke, is actual light, but the reality is we're not thinking clearly and it becomes darkness. That's why we need to repent to think clearly so that we can agree with God, so that we have light. That's what it's talking about. Seeing the light of Christ working in and through us, not adding to it, not trying to take away from. And if I can understand that about myself, then I can go back in the other verses 6 and 7 and see people in a way that I can remember that if it wasn't for Jesus, I would not be free. How can I free people up to walk with Jesus? Not how can I, but where can I walk in that? It's by understanding how dirty and disgusting I am without him. So that when I see others, I don't sit there and say, well, they got that problem, and if they would do this and all this and this and this. And then instead I say, they need Jesus, they need freedom. They need the yoke removed, they need to be yoked up with Christ, where his yoke is easy, his burden is light. When I add to you, if I come to you and say, well, to be a part of this fellowship, you got to walk in here on one foot. And I put that prerequisite on everybody. Are you free? Are you bound? Probably most of you are fallen. We're called not to put stumbling blocks in front of people. We're to remove them. But we need to remove the stumbling blocks in our own eyes that we see ourselves as anything other than someone saved by grace. And that's the way he wants to reveal. It's himself. He's our all in all. Yes, I have darkness. I'm going to I think yesterday I told Minnie I had a dream. Don't kill me for it, but that I came home and for my birthday I had a dog being given to me. I was a little agitated in my dream. And when I woke up, I laughed, even though I was like, I hope she's not getting a dog. But anyway, I woke up and said, I got angry in my dream. And she just looked at me and she goes, you know, you seem to be angry a lot lately. I said, I'm angry all the time. All the time. Look, the truth is, but by the grace of God, I mean, no one would know me other than my wife and family if it wasn't for Jesus coming to meet me and save me. And what was there before isn't being changed, it just needs to be opened up so he can live it through. I'm not looking for my flesh to be reformed. I'm not trying to be a better Christian. I'm not trying to be a better person. All I can do is rely totally on Jesus' saving power, trusting that he knows me better than I do, and he still loved me enough to die for me so that I can sit here today. You guys are the fools. You're listening. No, just kidding. But there's nothing in any of us that gives us the right to sit here. There's nothing in any of us that has a right for anybody to come and listen to. But when people do come, because God's going to put you in a place that no matter what, whether you like it or not, you do lead. It's just how we lead. And if we can walk in humility, which, guess what? The flesh shows up all the time, my pride. So if I want lifted up, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Well, Lord, how do I humble myself? Well, first, I have to come. And that's even the first step of humility, just to come and recognize your need, that I need Jesus to be my all in all for everything, for every moment of every day. That's what the fast is. Why? So his light can break forth in the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. And your righteousness shall go before you. Anybody want to explain to me their righteousness going before them? I'm going to go with 1 Corinthians 1:30, which says Jesus has become my righteousness. You see, my walk starts on following after the righteous one. And when I do that, he promises to take care of my rear. Why? Well, what time is it?
11.
I'm doing good time then. I'll behave.
12:23.
Oh, crap. I have lots of verses I can share and add with this, but I don't want to take, I think you guys get the point. And that is, the goal. So if your righteousness shall go before you, if it's Christ's righteousness that I'm holding on to, not my own, if I will allow him to lead me, when he tells me, there's nothing good that dwells in you except for the space that I put for me. That's what can lead me. Why? Because my eyes, the light, he is the light of the world. He is my light. Then my eyes are fixed on him and a clear understanding that I can't help. I might lie, I want to. If you want to flip the room, it's 3.
Can I interject for them?
You just did!
No, I think like we're all so hard on ourselves as humans because we do know where we came from, but like the bilge goes out of the boat in the back, like it's supposed to stay back there. And so, like last week, we looked at coming like newborn helpless babies and having that dependence on the Lord and a big rest. It doesn't say, you know, oh, I know I cried yesterday and I might not get milk today because I was just, you know, such a brat not being able to understand things. But, like, Like, that is, I think, the goal of us as Christians, which is so hard, is like, no, we got to forget what is behind, but of course we remember where we came from, you know, and yet as we delight ourselves in Him, I remember one time, you know, like, we don't lay down our sins and try to focus on our sins so we can get rid of them, no, but we focus on Christ and really seeing ourselves in Him, that it's Him that's what's going to lead people to Christ. So I think we always will have that seed remembering where we came from, you know.
And, well, that's why I said don't hide yourself from your flesh. Right? I mean, it is going to take you to...
It's strange, you know, to remember where you came from either. I mean, like I said, I know we all do.
Right, but we've all been taught that we can add to our salvation, and it's something we need to rethink. Like, that we can become better Christians.
No, not me.
That's what most of us have been taught. The truth is the only way Christ, there's anything good coming forth from my life, is when I get out of the way and let Christ live His life through me.
More of Christ. I'm sorry,
I'm hoping the verses are clicking.
More of Christ and less of me.
No longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life I now live, I live by faith in the power of the Son of God. Right? Something like that?
And the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself to me.
Okay. See?
That's the New King James.
So I want to read verses. I want to nail this point. Because I believe it's nailed in Scripture. So, Romans 3:21. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness. Because of His forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be the just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where is our boasting then? It is excluded by what law of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Or is He the God of the Jews only? Is He not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, the Gentiles also. Since there's one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and uncircumcised through faith, do we then make the void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish it. Okay. So, it's the Lord's work. It's His salvation. It's His redemption, right? Now let's go in to Romans 4. And I really haven't been in Isaiah very much, and I apologize, not really. What shall we say then? Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh. This is what you find out according to the flesh. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God and was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. This is very important because when we try to work out this out in our flesh, we start thinking God owes us something instead of going back and saying, Lord, thank you. I don't deserve anything but I want your grace. I want your mercy. So, does that kind of help prove a point, show a point? I'd rather His word do it than me trying to argue you with it. We can't hold on to anything but the Lord's righteousness, which means we have to hold on to Him as we seek Him. And the glory being your rear guard, you know, I thank the Lord that He promises that as far as the east is from the west, so my sins have been removed from me and you. I think that's a scripture, right? I choose to remember your sins no more. That's God's heart.
He shuts and no one can open.
He shuts a door no one can open, and opens a door no one can shut. And He's the one that's opened the door of your heart to receive. He's given you the grace. He's given you the little bit of light. Everybody's been given a measure. So we all have that as a gift from God. He's given us what we need to find Him, and He draws us to Him, and He continues to reveal Himself as we see our need for Him. He wants to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal. And I think that anybody have any thoughts? I don't know how far I'm going to go. I have a lot to say, but I don't know what's going on. Huh? What?
Everybody has thoughts.
And they're futile, right? No. Look, He says where the two or three are gathered, there I am in your midst. And He speaks through many voices. So I know the Lord is... He puts that... You don't have to share anything, but I know the Lord's giving you verses. I know that there's things that are springboards that the Lord wants to walk with you through. So the thing is what to share, what not to share.
I have a verse.
Okay.
Galatians 3, from where you...
Galatians 3?
Yeah, where you started from. I've been crucified with Christ.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Chapter 2, but verse chapter 3 goes on, and it says, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you being made perfect by the flesh?
Yes, sir.
I think there's a balance to this also. If you look at 2 Peter 1, starting verse 4, the great part of it says, through these things He has bestowed on us His precious and most magnificent promises, so that by means of His promise we may become partakers
of His nature,
after escaping the worldly corruption produced by evil desire. For this reason, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith excellence, to excellence knowledge, to knowledge self-control perseverance, and perseverance godliness, brotherly affection, selfless love. For if these things are really yours and are continually increasing, they will keep you from becoming ineffective and unproductive in the pursuit of the knowledge of knowing our Lord Jesus Christ more intimately. And it goes on.
Yeah, but I think that's. I think they're both true. Both statements are true, but all those other things that Peter lists, there can be desires in my heart, but they will not be attained without me going after Jesus, saying I can't, you can. You're putting this work in with me. I'm agreeing with you. It is walking in the truth and the light as He's revealing to you.
First four gives this verse.
Yeah. Say again.
It says through these things.
Yep.
Through these things, what things were, you know, it says, I can say this because of the divine power that bestowed on us everything necessary for life and godliness through the rich knowledge of the one who calls us by His own glory and excellence. In this context, He's given us the power.
Yes.
He's given us the power over worldliness. Now He's translated us into the kingdom of light, by which now we can add to each of these things. We can, you know, obviously by His power, but it's, we're making every effort, as in verse 5, to add to our faith excellence, etc., etc., and then going down to the bottom, verse 30, they will keep you from becoming ineffective and unproductive in your pursuit of knowing our Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Yep. Our salvation we couldn't do, and His work we couldn't do, and now being empowered to do those things that are part of the battle.
Right.
And that's where that old question is. Am I empowered to do it, or am I going to rely on him to do it through me? And those are...
Yeah, like the word saying.
Yeah. It's a constant battle between all kinds of different denominations and things. But I can say this from my own experience, which is limited with the Lord. When I try, I fail. I hide. When I rest in his completed work and not even consider myself, then I'm free. For me, this is me, that I'm open to whatever the Lord has. Trying to stick... I just want to go after Jesus. And I think everybody in here else does too. And I think everybody else in here hates religion. It's trying to figure out that balance as a faithful follower, faithful surrender, whatever term you want to use, and not caught up in becoming a Pharisee and thinking my religion doesn't stink.
I think, if I read that this first book that you just read here, Second Peter, the first three, and just the whole beginning of it, we can just say this all the time, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. His power has granted us everything that pertains to life and godliness. So we were walking with him, we got to focus. And that's hard, I know that's right, but that's growing and maturing. And then, but I forget that, just filling us with God's power, not our power, but he's given us that. Well, why don't we have a
go on. Well, isn't that what he says in Isaiah? When you do this, you'll ride on the hills.
I think one of the most remarkable things when I received the Lord was all of a sudden I was not under the domination of sin. And by that freedom, I was just in that freedom alone to be able to make better choices. I had a choice. Like one of the guys in our Bible study, Jimmy Hill, he's a great guy. And he was a believer about a year or two, maybe 2 years into his being a believer. He said, wow, after I received the Lord, all of a sudden I realized I could choose teams. Before he couldn't.
Right, you didn't have a choice.
Now,
right.
We were driven by things that were beyond our control. Right? And now we have a choice.
Yes.
A or B.
Choose Christ. Team A. Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think... there's a lot of things I want to say. I will tell you this, the Sabbath day rest for me is a hard thing to teach, because depending on what day you figure is the Sabbath, I work Sundays. Per se. I've always tried to hide my Saturdays. I don't think that there's a law. I don't think Jesus is our Sabbath rest. If we live every day alike and live it unto the Lord and allow our rest to be in him, then these things will be taking place. You want to call one day the Sabbath? Do it that way. Don't judge one another. That's what the scriptures say. One day seem higher than another. I think that Jesus is my rest. I think that it's very wise that he says that the Sabbath was made for man, because God knew we needed a rest. We need to just have the time and place. And in that day of rest is what he's saying is don't use it for your own pleasure. Well, that's just what he says. So that's what it is. But if we'll come to that place where we don't just, if we just remember our life's not our own and it's Christ and we're going after him, I can trust that even though the flesh is still here, if I'm open, he's speaking, and when he speaks, I can walk in it, or even speak it to someone else, or share, or there's just a freedom there. But when I see that my own ick, it frees me to see more beauty of him, and it helps me to not judge, to be looking at everybody on what they are and are not doing and try to figure out whether they're saved, unsaved. How about you just treat everyone as a lost child of God that needs his love and not try to figure it out? Treat them the same, like they know the truth, because God says he's already put it in. And allow the Lord to stir that truth and bring it to life as they enter in by faith. And I'm sorry I'm going on. Time's up. We'll be back in Thessalonians next week. So, any thoughts, questions, concerns? I will say this, verse 12, and Isaiah says, those from among you shall build waste places. And it says, you shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. And they're all capitalized for a reason. Because it points to Jesus. He's the restorer of the breach. He's the one that, he's the repairer, he's the restorer, he's the healer. That's why, so, it always goes to him. You might be the fleshly instrument that he chooses to work through, but it's all him. It's all Jesus. That's good enough. Let's pray. Father, just pray that you would take whatever this was and mix it and bring light to each of us, Lord, because we want to know you more. Lord, we ask that you remove the scales. Lord, you told the Pharisees if we were blind, we wouldn't be in sin. So, Lord, help us to realize even what we see is just blindness and pardon to see you for who you truly are. Pray that you would stir in each of us greater desire to know you more and to seek your face. And that through that, Lord, your love would shine in and through us. And that you would be drawing all men to yourself. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name.